Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to be here with you.
And to be gathered in God's house. Well, actually, God's house is the whole blessed week. First of all, a big thank you to all those who helped out with that amazing craft fair.
Yeah.
Many know there was no power. Saturday morning when I came down here, I thought, wow, it looks really dark. A lot of cars. And in here were, Clara and PJ, Carol and Petty and Arlie. And it was lucky. And I know a lot of people helped behind the scenes too. And just, we can't stop the crowd here. We really don't have to have a pretty little girl. So thank you all so much. Thank you. Any other announcements? Peter.
Today's the last day to sign up for Easter flowers. There's only one more spot on the farm, but if you need extra room, let me know. Okay.
Awesome. That's good to know that. Just because the paper's full doesn't mean you still can't.
Right. Yes, indeed. Okay. Let us prepare to come before God formally in worship. If you take a look at the person to your left or to your right, in front or behind you, you are looking upon the presence of God. And please know that as they look at you, as we look at you, we are seeing God's presence also. Please join me in our call to worship. God loves the field mouse.
God loves the crows that take flight when the church bells ring.
God loves the baby cooing in the back pew.
God loves the child who rocks and claps.
God loves the ones with wrinkled hands and soft eyes.
God loves the bumblebees and the tabby cats.
God loves those who walk, crawl, and roll.
God loves the giant oaks and the evergreens, standing strong over all of us.
God loves the young, the impressionable, and the earnest. So let us worship this all-loving God. Amen. And please rise in body or spirit as we sing our first hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Father, save me.
Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, open our hearts so that we are able to admit you
the fullness of our lives, that which is beautiful and good, and that which is hurtful.
We confess that we do not follow Jesus
in all that we do. We love with condition. We judge and condemn. We cast the first stone and keep the logs in our own eyes.
We do not turn to you
as source of our healing. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us, O God, and empower us to be imitators of Christ in love and in service. Amen.
Friends in Christ, know this. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. And may we remind one another of this surpassing grace. Our loving God has forgiven us. Alleluia. Amen. I invite you to say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace and love. And let me just say, I hate naming names to thank people because Kathy was there all day Saturday too. And Sue Galley, oh my gosh, she cooked all the soup, which we couldn't use, but so many apologies, but we are grateful.
To
Good morning. I had a wonderful conversation this morning with the first robin that I've seen. It was in the front yard, and I was so pleased. And so I went out and I said, "Mr. Robin, so welcome back." And he said, "I haven't gone anywhere." I said, "What do you mean? Don't you go south, you know, go to Florida for the winter?" "Oh, no," he said. "We robins, we just change our eating habits, and you don't see us." "Oh, I see. You stick around." "Yeah, it was a cold winter. We flock together in large numbers, and we share our food, and we keep each other warm." And I said, "Well, now you're back." He said, "Yeah, the worms are moving around, so we spread out now." And so, "Mr. Robin, it's still good to see you." So anyway, I had this wonderful conversation with a bird. And also, I saw my first daffodil yesterday, and it was right here at the church. And so, I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about spring coming. And it comes on Friday at 10:46, in case you're wondering. You might want to go out on your porch and blow a horn or whatever. It's been a long winter. This morning, we need to pray for peace. Churches all over the world are praying for peace today, together. And we need to be a part of God's movement among God's people for the world in which we live in. And so I will invite you to join me in a moment as we pray, and peace will be our prayer. I want to thank Ng for asking me to listen to her sermon from last Sunday. It was your best ever. Just shut up and let me talk. And here's the thing. It was just beautiful. And it occurred to me, everybody needs to hear this. So if you weren't here or were here, listen to it online. You can pull it up. And there's somebody in your life that needs to hear her sermon from last Sunday. So send it to someone who's having a hard time. I promise you, they will be blessed. We remember Cheryl DeMarco. D'Amico. How do you pronounce that? D'Amico. I'm sorry. Cheryl D'Amico. She's not here today. She's involved in the work of her aunt's estate and whatever, but her aunt died recently, and she's a part of the process to move forward following that. So in her loss and her special time, please remember her as we have a moment of silence, and remember her as she returns to us. Let's join our hearts together. May our hearts be one as we pray for God's world. Let us begin with silence so that we can remember Cheryl, her family and loved ones, and others who need lifting up and blessing and strength this day. O God of our lives, and every life, we lift up in prayer the people of the world, for they all have come from you. We pray for Israel and the United States and all nations touched in this present time, in this present conflict. We pray for every nation and country in the Middle East who has become involved. We lift our prayers knowing that you see every tear. You watch over every frightened child. You are present with every grieving parent and every soul longing for peace for our world. Protect your people, shelter the families hiding, bring comfort to the wounded, strength to those who mourn, and hope to those who feel forgotten. For leaders of the world, we pray that you will grant wisdom. Guide them to see that you alone govern all humankind, and that no power on earth can hinder your purposes and the coming of your kingdom. Turn hearts that might be full of hatred or revenge, that they might be guided toward justice and peace. Wherever there is anger growing, plant gentleness and compassion. Where destruction spreads, raise up healing. Be near to the soldiers, sailors, and Marines, and Air Force, and those in danger. Guard their lives and soften their hearts so that their humanity will never be lost in the midst of war, and so that everyone who wears a uniform might return home whole. O God, you are Lord of all nations. Remind us that every person, regardless of color, religion, creed, is sacred, created in your image and likeness. And so we join our prayers today with prayers of your people all over the world, of many denominations, of many religions, many voices, that you will lead us soon toward a path of reconciliation and understanding. Oh God, you are the one source of life and truth and love that embraces all humanity. And so we give our lives to you in that embrace. May your presence be known everywhere on this earth this day, guiding, protecting, and sustaining every one of your children. We bring you our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of life, the one that we have found to be Lord and Savior of our lives, and head of the church, your body in the world. And in his name we bring the prayer that he taught disciples to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I invite you to rise again in body or spirit and sing our hymn of meditation, God Whose Giving Knows No Ending.
God is giving.
Please be seated, and would our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering. God, we return just a portion of what we've been given by you, and may it be used for the good of all your creation. Amen. BJ, just before you read, I just want to make sure
it is right.
Okay,
it's wrong in the book.
So I was like, but at least there are no big long names and yeah.
Before I read the scripture this morning, I'd just like to thank everyone that worked yesterday at the craft show under our good conditions. And we made a little over $2,000 for the day.
That's awesome.
The reading today is from Matthew 19:13 through 15. Then children were being brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these things that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks, Jesus. Thank you, God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the greatest things about having my various jobs is that I get to be with people all the time. Small groups, big groups, and people who are the sociologically defined old, babies in arms. I see every age and every stage in between. And so I've learned a lot. And one thing I want to be very clear about this is that I have learned not to make age-based generalizations about people. I have a little picture. I don't know if you can see it. There's a couple here. But the first thing that you don't want to generalize is that people who are maybe 1, 2, or 3 decades older than you, that they're going to dance slower than you. Because let me tell you, I am usually run ragged by everyone in this picture, and they just happen to be a couple of decades older than I am, the folks there. Don't believe that every teenager is rowdy and is going to cause trouble. Don't believe that every senior citizen is stuck in their ways. That every millennial feels entitled and acts entitled. The more people I've met, I've found out that if you meet one 40-year-old, you've met one 40-year-old. One 8-year-old, you've met one 8-year-old. One unique human being with their beautiful particularities. Don't put them in a box. That said, I do have one generalization. It seems to me, in my older age, that kids today, all kids want to be older. All kids can't wait to grow up. And I know some of you have been or are teachers, and maybe you've heard this too. I had so many kids say to me, it's my birthday. And how old are you? I'm 4, but next year I'll be 5. And then I'm going to be 6. And then I'm going to be 7. I hear them say, I can't wait to get out of primary school. I can't wait to get to the middle school. I can't wait to get to the high school. I can't wait to graduate. And these kids, they just wish their childhood away. And don't they know that when you're young, you get to take that extra money and you get to save for toys and games. And when you get older, you have to save for gutter helmets and brakes. Come on. Don't they know that it's really fun to lose a tooth at age 7, but when you lose a tooth at age 54, it's going to cost you a bundle? I can't figure out why kids want to grow up so fast. And so I asked some tweens and teens this week. And you know what? Their answers were very understandable. More independence, more freedom, more choices. I get that. That's what I want too. I would bet that we all get that. That's what we want. And one young girl said to me, well, you know, everybody is always telling me to grow up. And her friend added, grow up and stop acting like a child. And also, why would you want to be a kid? I mean, kids don't earn any money. And doesn't that mean everything? Kids don't have any status, even less so if they're immigrants or not white or poor or don't fit into typical gender or sexuality roles. So I guess it makes sense. No wonder kids want to grow up. So why then? Why does Jesus love even favored children so much? Why does he instruct us to become like a child, to have the faith of a child? When others see children as a hindrance and try to shoo them away, there's Jesus saying, bring them here. Jesus said, whoever welcomes a little child welcomes me. What is it about a child? Well, this week I heard the former poet laureate Joy Harjo reflect on her time in a pediatric unit in a hospital. And she said this, when I walked into each child's room, I felt a sacred tenderness. Children are fresher from our spiritual home. When I heard her say that, I have to say it touched me deeply and it felt like truth. And maybe that's what Jesus felt and thought also. Now, I know kids aren't perfect. I've never had a child, so I don't know everything, nothing, what it goes into to raising a child. We paint them to be perfect sometimes. A lot of times people say that children don't lie. But any of us who've ever been around a child or any of us who've been a child, well, we know that's a lie. So what is it that's true about them, though? What still makes them astounding and holy and favored here? Because while you have to admit, even though they throw tantrums, even though they do lie, children, perhaps they are fresher from their spiritual home, and they show that because I believe children are good at trust. Children know they are dependent. And of course, like every human, they might not always want to be, but children know they're not in control. And so they trust those who are called to love and care for them. And this trust in others is part of what makes them so vulnerable. And again, we as adults, I mean, the last thing we want to be is vulnerable. We don't admire vulnerability in others. It's seen as a weakness. We admire even it less in ourselves. I can't tell you how many times my inner voice has said to me, put on your big girl pants, right? We think that being vulnerable is a sign of weakness, but Jesus didn't. And as we walk closer to his execution on the cross, we're going to be reminded yet again just how vulnerable Jesus was and how strong that made him. I think a child's trust is also what makes them see the goodness in others. And I mean even the others that sophisticated adults are so eager to judge on sight or to keep judging by past actions. MIT, Yale, name a prestigious school that has done studies on children, and they agree. The evil of racism is learned behavior. The same thing was found at UCLA in studies around same-sex couples. Children aren't born to hate or discriminate. Adults teach them that. Children also forgive more easily. But this is kind of sad, what studies have shown about this, is that they forgive more easily until they get to be about age 4. When they're 5 and they're 6, they start to see it like I do sometimes, like many people do, they start to see forgiveness as a reciprocal tit for tat kind of thing. Somebody says and shows they're sorry first, and then they will forgive. I guess that's what happens when we get further away from our spiritual home. Because some of us as adults, myself included, there are some things sometimes when we just feel we can't forgive anymore. So is it any wonder why Jesus loves the little children of the world, all the little children? And so think about your own little one who is in your spirit, Canyon or Bert, so many others. We can learn from them. And we who are well past childhood, there is good news. The good news is that God loves us no matter how little we trust, or how many we people put into the other box, or how long it takes us to forgive. And with God's help, we can change. And I do have other good news from my experience. Those sociologically old people that I mentioned, I have talked with them and I learned from them and I am inspired by them because their views are more expansive and more welcoming and more forgiving than I can be yet. Maybe it's because they're closer to their spiritual home. And we'll get there too. As children of God, no matter what age or stage we are in, we are invited to become more childlike as we age. With that holy sense of wonder, with that curiosity, with the embracing of our original goodness. And so I invite you and I challenge you. It's going to be easier for me because tomorrow morning I'll be in a room with 80 people with a pink hat on my head dancing to Five Little Monkeys. But I invite all of us to live and love like little children this week, you and I. And with the aid and encouragement of the one who himself came as a vulnerable, trusting baby, may it be so. Amen. And please rise in body or spirit as we sing our closing hymn, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. This was requested by my mother for her memorial service. Oh, wait, that's not it. I don't know. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Again, like I said, you guys called me here so you could learn more about forgiveness. That was not it. It's not that. It is, go, my children, with my blessing. I have no idea. This was on, It must have been from this morning. It was from Mount Nebo. That's what we sang at Mount Nebo this morning. That's what we sang. And I man, it's a good one. It's good. Except for the second and third verses. Like when I read the second and third verses this morning, I just thought, But no. So I am glad that we are not doing all the verses of the other one. Sing, go, my children, with my blessing. Thank you, Miss Mickey. Thank you. One verse of that, because, yeah.
This day